I am Fawn.
And Matt. We're an interracial couple with two kids, wanting to do something that highlights the power of friendship and what it means to be in the company of true friends. We're going to move our society away and out of the loneliness epidemic and into a friendlier, happier world. Welcome to Our Friendly World. Better, stronger, together.
Welcome back to Our Friendly World. Hopefully a friendly world.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hopefully, yes.
Okay, from setting boundaries. Boundaries so you are safe from what kind of people? What's the word I'm looking for, Matt? Because you know what I'm going to talk about.
Meanies.
Okay, yeah, good one. When you can't escape them for the moment, like they're right next door or something, or family.
Or something, yes.
Or something. From that to power roles, this is what I want to talk about today within our relationships, i.e. friendships. Okay, so initially I was thinking, since I gave birth, that it opened me up even more. I was already sensitive to it, but it really opened me up to how precious life is, and everybody's life is precious. I was already open to that. I was already aware of that. But something about giving birth, growing some human inside of you, being a creator of that or a co-creator of that, once the baby's born, you just have this heightened sensitivity to everything. And I always thought, okay, if rulers of countries, i.e. the men, felt this, we wouldn't have any war. So whenever I have these like thoughts where I'm like, I'm better, it always comes back to get me, because a few times it's come back to me, and it's come back to me again recently, where something that is really who cares kind of a situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the moment it feels very charged and very heated. And yes, I feel entitled to my rage, but in the grand scheme, in the grand whatever it is of living, of the world history, my little situation really is not that big of a deal. But for me to have such rage about it,
right.
I was thinking, if I'm having rage about an imbecile, what's another word for her? Gossipy, nosy, busybody neighbor who storms in our house uninvited with her nasty shoes on all the way through our house, scolding our youngest about our lawn. Number one, the whole scolding thing. Number one, also coming into our home uninvited, also with shoes on. And then also talking about the outside of the house. I feel so much rage, Matt, that I've just been consumed by the rage. And I was thinking to myself, okay, well, how do leaders of countries feel when there's major injustice and major invasion and all of this? Oh my God, I'd probably like throw all kinds of bombs, probably. Like,
oh dear.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it came back to me like, oh, I would be one of those violent leaders, probably. I don't know. But maybe not, because every time I had that thought, I asked for God to take away that feeling. I asked for some grace, but then it would come back again. And I was like yesterday consumed by it all day long. Mm-hmm. But thankfully I have a couple of friends who sense me out there. Like, I didn't want to call anybody because I didn't want to disturb anybody with what I was feeling. But you know, I have a couple of friends who sense me. And so they always call. They're like, what's going on? Like, I didn't even have to say anything.
Oh, dear.
So I told them, and then their rage or their holding of my pain made me feel much better. Like, I felt like, oh, okay, I feel better. Thank you.
Right.
I just wanted to know that I was not in the wrong, that it was absolutely right for me to feel this rage. You know, I wanted someone to commiserate. Is that the word?
Commiserate's a good word.
Am I pronouncing it right? Anyway, so there you have it. And so we were talking about this, and then we were talking about two things. Gender roles, like men, how do they handle it? Is it true about women leaders? Do you think it would be more peaceful? And also, because I'm like, well, what's the situation here? Like, what is going on, Matt? Why is this person like this? Because we've heard from people in the neighborhood, several people, that the same house that we live in, every person who's lived here has moved away because of this neighbor, because of her actions. And so what do you do? What do you do with difficult people? And you said you set up boundaries, but then the boundaries get invaded. So what am I supposed to do? Like, I don't know.
Well, this is, let's take care of the, let's go through the questions in order, huh?
All right.
So would it be more peaceful if women ruled the world? Yes?
Well, when I'm not angry, I want to say yes.
Well, let's look at history, shall we? Now, we haven't had a ton of female leaders other than we can go Western European and we can go, there were an interesting number of queens who ruled the countries. Now, whether or not it was a puppet government or, I don't know. However,
isn't it always a puppet government, no matter who it is?
And there it is. Queens waged more wars per capita than the men did.
What?
Yes. And then we take a look at, like, the world, and we take a look at the female leaders we've really had.
Nuh-uh.
I wouldn't say that anybody ever considered British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher as nurturing. Would you?
What is nurturing have to do with it? Was she going out there and raping and pillaging people? No.
She didn't back down.
So? Backing down has nothing to do with going out and just raping and pillaging.
True. True, but we
are... And destroying and invading for no reason. Did she do that?
Did she?
No.
Okay.
I don't know, actually.
She was not regarded as a particularly...
Careful, Matt. Careful.
Careful. Stepping very carefully on the...
tippy toe.
She was not the most feminine prime minister Britain
so,
ever had.
Oh my God, Matt. No. I'm not talking about being feminine. What is... First of all, being a woman...
I'm trying to be careful here.
You know what? I don't think we can do anything right today because, you know, no matter what we say, I'll be wrong, you'll be wrong. You're wrong right now because being feminine, what do you want her to do? Walk around in ballet slippers and like tutus? Being feminine, I mean... Women take care of business. What do you mean being feminine?
There you go.
What do you mean? You want her to look like a
Twiggy? Women take care of business. No. I think you're right. I think by and large.
Because, I mean, think about mothering, right? I'm not always light and fairy tale. When I have to, I'm like, the kids are scared of me. They should be.
And that's very fair. It's really hard to figure out how things would be if more countries were ruled, the chief executive, et cetera, was a woman, because as it stands right now, the current count stands at there are 13 female leaders right now.
Around the world?
Out of 193 countries. Ouch. Yes. So it's really hard. However, your man, Kofi Annan, said,
hell no.
That if there were more women in power, there would be less conflict. They would be very important in preventing conflict.
I mean, it is a complicated issue because there are so many issues that men don't think about that women take care of.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of reasons why women would make better leaders and how we need both sides, obviously, because there are so many things that are overlooked in so many areas of life, from medicine to education to finances, money, family, you know, the amount of work that a mother does that goes unseen. I mean, it's a huge subject that will take a very long time to discuss, mm-hmm. you know, to go over. So we go over every fair possible detail. Bottom line, I think, I'm realizing I can't just make blanket statements like that, saying men are like angry Neanderthals and that women are more evolved because we give birth, so we understand. But because, you know, like I said, every time I have that kind of thought, there you go. I end up feeling rage. And I think, oh, what if I was ruling a country right now and this neighbor is another country and I had the power to eliminate them? Would I do it?
Right. Yeah, you would really have to hope you had people around you that would block easy access to the red button for sure.
But, you know, even so, if you can do parallels, I could have done some terrible things to her, but I didn't. But I did go out of my way to make sure she knows that I am documenting things so she can back down.
Right, because what you really want from this person is stay out of my business, I'll stay out of your business, and we'll just be quiet.
And also, if you ever do this again, I have ammunition to get you into some big trouble. But the thing is that I start thinking, is it enough ammunition? And then I start thinking, well, I could go further and further and further. And then where is the line that I just stop and go, okay, this is going overboard.
Right.
You know, because I feel weak. You know, she's older. She's been in this neighborhood for God knows 50 years.
Who knows?
60 years. I don't know. 50 years. So it's like, and she has a mouth on her and she's a gossip. And she's very sneaky. So I don't, you know, this whole time, I'm sure she's been the one gossiping to HOA or whoever about us. Because just, I don't want to get into details. But sometimes I feel like I don't have enough power. And then feeling that way makes me feel more apt to really go for her. I don't know. I don't know what I can do because it is. Like, we're the target right now. It's usually other people. And I think her true face finally was shown last year. And, you know, I took steps to take care of it, and she backed down. And then it comes back again, and I'm like, ugh, mm-hmm. I have other things to do.
Right.
But yet, I feel all this rage. So what do you do when you can't even have peace within your own life? Because one, this person's buzzing around like a buzzard, and then also you can't stop thinking about it. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. I feel obsessed with the rage. Right. It's addictive too. When you start feeling that way, it's this hunger that takes over you. It's addictive, where you just want to keep going until you feel some sort of satisfaction. And the thing is, you'll never get any satisfaction. Correct? We've talked about this.
We've talked about this a lot. It's
You taught me that.
Darn near impossible to get satisfaction.
So what do we do?
Right. What do we do? As a non-stoic, how do we deal with this?
Pray. Like, I ask for God to just take care of it.
What was that prayer that ends with, please forgive them?
I tried that.
Right.
But I thought about the Nazis. I'm like, this prayer would not work. Mm. And then a friend of mine who's a total woman of faith said, ooh, out of the blue, by the way, she didn't know what was going on, but out of the blue, she calls me. She's like, oh, a friend of mine just told me we need to do prayer. So, the Psalm, what was it? I think it was 109.
109 rings
it was 109. So we looked it up, 109, and the kids and I were, first of all, we started screaming with laughter, and then we were scared because this psalm is crazy, crazy violent. Like, it's violent is not the good word for it. What is it? It's scary. It is scary. So then I had to go to a rabbi and say, can you please explain this? And he did. And actually, I understand it now. And he translated it. I'm like, well, why doesn't it just say it the way you just told me? And he said, I forgot what he said, but it rang true. I'm like, okay, I'm good. Okay, thanks. But yeah, I mean, yeah.
So that's certainly an option, right?
Yeah. It didn't help, though. I mean, we started laughing. And then we were scared, like, ooh, this is like extreme. But then if you think about it as far as like the Nazis go, like the rabbi explained that his grandmother was a concentration camp survivor, and that what Germans would do and what this German woman did was say to her, her family, I'll take you in, pay me this money and I'll protect you. I'll hide you. So she took their money. She hid them for a while. But then, and this is what a lot of them did, they turned them in to the SS.
Yes, Gestapo SS.
And then, so the rabbi's grandmother ended up in the concentration camp for a year and a half. And then she said when they were caught, when the woman turned them in, that she was smiling while they were being taken away. She was smiling at them. This like, ha ha, gotcha kind of way. The rage. How do you deal with that kind of rage? Do you know what I mean? That
yes.
Kind of double crossing. Is double crossing a good word for this? I don't know. For that kind of evil behavior, I don't think the whole Ho'oponopono prayer would work. And the prayer is, Lord, help me to forgive John. Help John to forgive me. Help us to forgive each other, please, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No, that's another one. Sorry. No, the one you were thinking of was this one. I'm sorry. I love you. Please forgive me. Thank you. Is that the one?
I think so.
Hell no.
Speaking of Kofi Annan again, anyways.
Nope. No, it wouldn't work.
So what are you going to do, my little festering ball of rage?
Tell me.
It's hard. It's super hard.
How can you be friends with that? And here's the thing, going back to friendship. I knew this about her when we first moved in. All the neighbors told me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that's your experience. I'm going to make it a different experience, different
right.
Karma, whatever. And so for a while it worked until it didn't. And then when I was really upset, one of her best friends told me, you know, when you moved in, really wanted to hang out with you, but she told me not to, that she'll take care of this. I'm the this. That what she really wanted to do was control the neighborhood and control the landscaping of the area. So she didn't let us hang out. And I had no idea. Like, she was blocking us. Anyway, why am I telling you this? I totally forgot.
Ruh-roh.
I wanted to be friends with her. I thought we were friends. And then I was shown that she had no intention of being friends. It was a fake friendship. It was all fake. It was manipulation. And so can't be friends with that. So if you're forced to be face to face,
right?
What's the best way to proceed? I mean, usually you all know my story. I cut them off. I move away.
It's nice and simple.
I completely cut myself off from my family.
Mm-hmm.
And by family, I say that in quotes. The people I was born into, never saw them again, never spoke to them again. After years of trying, and
right.
I'm talking decades of trying, going through seeing so many psychologists and making sure I was doing the right thing, I finally came to the conclusion that all the psychologists were correct. You have to leave. What do you do when you can't leave for the moment? What is the best way possible? The only thing I can think of was when I worked at this one company, I was a photographer. And I don't want to get into the whole story, but it was a difficult situation. And my friend, who was one of the executives, looked at me at this photo shoot. She's like, are you happy? I'm like, are you crazy? What? She's like, yeah, but are you happy in this moment? And she brought me back to the moment, because in that moment, I was in a safe place,
mm-hmm.
in a beautiful place, surrounded by people who were protecting me. Everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So just coming down to that precise moment where you are, like right now, she's not in this room unless I keep thinking about her. Then she comes into the room. Do you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if I can look around and go, okay, this is our sanctuary. I've reestablished our territory, saying you are not allowed to even step foot on our lawn. Having peace of mind to say. I can focus on my favorite Korean TV show right now. I can focus on this banana bread that I'm baking. Mm-hmm. I can focus on sitting here and speaking to our friends. I can focus on this music I'm listening to. I can just being in the exact moment. I mean, that will help.
Right.
Right. And then hopefully that tiny little circle, that bubble you're in, you can expand it maybe little by little as you build your life force, your energy, and it gets bigger.
Right.
And going back to Osensei, some things are not allowed in your circle, right?
Right. Just because somebody offers you something doesn't mean you have to accept it.
And also you can make your circle so strong that it repels certain things.
True. But again, that's what I suggested earlier. Barriers, physical, mental, spiritual. So figuring out what a barrier looks like between us and our next door neighbor. Yay!
The problem for me comes in because it seems like the moment I relax and my guards are down, boom, there she is.
Right.
So must I have my guard up all the time?
That's exhausting.
It is. So what do I, how do you move
through? I liken it to a breakup, right? So you're dating someone for a minute, maybe longer than a minute, you break up. Man, first of all, that sucks. Second of all, you just keep thinking about them. And it's like, what do you, and you're only truly healed when you just don't care anymore.
Yeah, but you have, how do you get to a point where you don't care?
That's a challenging thing. And it's like a muscle. You have to exercise it. You have to practice. You have to figure that out. You have to tweak your brain in various and sundry ways.
Listen to that song we listened to. The Anchor song?
Ah, Ailstorm.
Ailstorm.
Sweet, sweet Ailstorm.
What's the title?
It's called Effed with an Anchor. Where effed is not effed, it's the word. It's a good song.
Yeah. Don't play that around kids, you guys.
No. But yeah, that's certainly one way. Another way is to start tweaking your head. And one of the fun ways to tweak your head is by Zen Cones. Zen Cones, gotta love them. Master, student, students like, it's all, the world is illusion, yada, yada, yada. They're walking across a bridge. And the master's like, so you're telling me the entire all of the world is an illusion, and because we're real, it doesn't affect us. And he's like, yes. And so then the master pushes him in the water. The apprentice sputters and gets up, and he's pissed. And the master says, where'd your anger come from, jerky? Because it's little tweaks like that. It's basically the actions have happened. Now I'm going to get all stoic on you for a second. The actions have happened. I can control how I respond to the actions. And I can respond to the actions by playing effed with an anchor and just coming up with different things that are possible to do. I'm not saying we should or shouldn't do any of these things.
Okay.
You know, I suppose if I thought longer and harder about it, I would perhaps come up with other things.
See, you're getting into revenge mode. I don't think that's okay.
Okay.
That's not okay.
Sometimes just a little is okay. Just a little. Keep it cartoon. Don't make it like really wicked. Make it cartoon.
Don't you think it's better for the universe to take care of that kind of absurdity? Honestly, because you're wasting your precious resources and
But if it everything. Gives me a chuckle instead of giving me rage, I think that's a better use of energy is chuckling than raging.
See, I can't do that because I tend to go overboard. So then I'll end up doing something. I'm like, what? I didn't see that was wrong until like years later. I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? Why didn't I know that that was so wrong?
Oh dear.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
I don't know my boundaries sometimes. Right. Because I don't like to fight back. So if I do, that's why I'm not a good person to fight with, because it could all go out the window. Like I can probably fight really dirty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared of myself, so I won't.
That's why I go for the cartoony approach.
That's just it, though. I don't know. My cartoon is different than your cartoon.
It is very different. But anyways.
Anyway. Oh, my God.
Set your boundaries, folks.
And if you are going through this, you're not alone. Obviously.
Oh, Lord, no.
Okay, that's it.
Okay.
People think this is like a happy friendship podcast.
It is.
It is, but, you know, we're talking about, you know.
Vengeance
and anchors and.
Anyways.
Okay, all right. Have a beautiful every day.
keep it light, everyone.
Oh my God.
Be well.